morning, everybody. And the topic that I'd like to discuss this morning for Ezra Hashem is a topic which, throughout the long and bitter Golos, has been one which we've always looked towards, we've always discussed, we've always tried to see if the events that are happening in the times in which we're living reflect the prophecies which are fulfilled in Chazal. The topic of Achas Yoim, particularly the topic of Ikvah to the Mashiach. The Sugya of Ikvah to the Mashiach, which literally means the footsteps of the Mashiach, is brought in place of that Memtes on the base, and as well as that, with very few differences in the Sefer Sanhedrin, Sadi Zion and the Dalet. And if we take some time to look over this Gemara, I'll be quoting the Gemara from Sefer Memtes on the base, first of all, just thinking how many of these things which are mentioned over here in the Gemara are things which we see nowadays in our present society. Before I do, just a word of caution. How long Ikvah Tzad HaMashiach will last is something which is not actually recorded in the Gemara. It doesn't tell us exactly how long it will go on for. So there have been many of our tzaddikim throughout history have said maybe it started now, maybe it hasn't started now, maybe it started and we'll go on for a short amount of time, we'll go on for a longer amount of time. We don't actually know exactly. There is, and the Sugya in Sanhedrin does say the Zoyer Shaben Bovizbor, in the generation when the Mashiach will come, which seems to imply that it will take place over the course of a person's lifetime. It isn't necessarily something which is just going to all be revealed in just a week or so. So there are certainly lots of things that we don't know about it. And the fact is, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, there are many, many things concerning the period of Yemei Mashiach, concerning the period of Tshat HaNesim and Olam Habo, which we don't know exactly how they're going to pan out until they actually happen, and then we'll know, and then we'll be able to see all of these things reflected in the writings of Chazal. So the Gemara says in Sefer Memtes, Be'ikvas Mashiachah Chutz B'Yadkiyah. So Chutz B'Yadkiyah means there'll be a tremendous amount of audacity in the world, a great deal of chutzpah in the world, some sort of a breakdown in society, as opposed to previous generations where everybody knew who were the people who were worth respecting and who were the people to whom we have to have whom we have to show deference for. In the generation of Ikvah to the Mashiach, there'll be a tremendous amount of chutzpah, antisocial behaviour. It'll be yucky, it'll be very, very prevalent in the world. Then V'yoyker Ya'amir. So there's a machlekes between the Rashi in Sanhedrin and the Marashah. What does Yoyker Ya'amir actually mean? Yoyker can either mean kovoy, yot yachar, or it can mean the prices, right? Things are expensive. Like inflation. So according to the explanation where Yoyker means kovoy, Yoyker Ya'amir means that kovoy will reign in the world. The concept of kovod, as opposed to previous generations, where it was clear that these certain people were worthy of kovod, in the generation of Mashiach, you'll have people who are given kovod who really are not worthy of kovod at all. It could be that people who are not, in actual fact, great people, but they're people that the whole world goes mashuga over. And large sectors of society will do anything that they can to have hairstyles like these people, to dress like these people. But really, these people are not worthy of kavod. Or according to the other explanation, Yoyker means that there'll be a great deal of inflation in the world, and things will cost very high prices. The Gemara continues, Hagefen tachas periok, Hagefen titein periok, v'hayayin v'yoyker. Here we have an anomaly, and that is that the vine will bring forth its fruit, but nevertheless, wine will be expensive. How curious, we know that normally prices are affected by supply and demand. So if there's a great supply of something, then the prices should go down. And here we see there's a huge amount of defensive interior. The world has brought forth so much bounty. And nevertheless, the prices of wine are high. Why should this be? So Rashi says, Sha'akel oisken b'mishto'i. Because suddenly the demand for wine has also increased. Because there'll be so many alcoholics in the world, there'll be so many people who are drinking wine the whole time, that the price will still stay very high. As well as this, the Mefarshim say that Geffen is a metaphor for luxury items. There'll be an abundance of luxury items. Nevertheless, not everybody will be able to access these luxury items. Could be there'll be a great difference between the amount of money that certain sectors of society have and other sectors of society have. Well, Malchus Tehofik Laminus, and the Malchus, the sovereignty, those who are leading their various nations, will become apikorsim, right? They'll all follow Minus. There are sources which say Minus. I have over here a Hagor from the Dafut Amsterdam, Yoshon, where it says the Minus over here is that it will be a Christian society. Nimshochin Achar Toos Shelo Yeshu, the Talmid of Nikru Minus. Yeah, so there will be a Christian society, a Christian nation who's ruling the world. Very interesting, because the Arabs say that the fight against the Americans is a fight against the Crusaders. The traditional understanding we have of Minus is that there'll be a civil apikorsis in the world, there'll be heresy, as opposed to previous generations where everybody essentially was believing in God, and were God fearing. The generation when Mashiach comes will be a generation according to the simple explanation of Minus, without following Yeshu, without those who follow Yeshu. The simple explanation is that there will be a society where people don't believe in God. And there'll be no rebuke. It'll be very hard to rebuke anybody. Nobody, in our society, people are even scared to tell anybody else off. There are so many stories about how people have tried to tell people off. It could be in front of people, it could be on the streets, or in the buses, or on the trains, someone trying to tell somebody else off, they end up getting killed. So not only are people not listening to rebuke, but people are even scared to rebuke. There'll just be no terchocho going around. And also everything, if there's no terchocho, not just because people are scared of recruiting people, but also who's to say that what you're doing is wrong? Everybody can do whatever they want to do. This is a society where people think that really there's nothing you can tell, or you have to understand where they're coming from. And what they're doing, we have to understand the reasons why they're doing it. And so we understand the reasons why these people, let's say, are suicide bombers. We have to understand it's not that they're necessarily wrong. There are things that bring them to do such terrible things. But really, we can't blame them for doing that, because that's just the society they've been brought up in, and they're pushed to do these sorts of things by the actions that are perpetrated against them. So there's no tehocho. So the meeting places will become places for sexual immorality. So what does it mean, the beis vav? So beis vav, these are choshev places. These are places where intelligent people are. People who are coming over here for meetings to debate very important issues, and they're full of sexual immorality. There's no shame. People will bring parades flaunting their deviant lifestyles all over the world, in the greatest halls of the world, in front of the various different houses of parliament, in front of the Knesset. They're completely okay now. Based on Yiel Nut. So all of these things are somewhat indicative, though I think it's fair to say that many of these things have been going on for quite some time. The next cases, though, are a little bit spine-chilling. The Hagalil Yecharot. Right, the north of Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed. The Hagavlon Yoshum, and Gavlon, which is some say close to Beis Shean, which is in the south of the Galil, it will be Yoshum, it will be desolate. I have a cousin who lives in Chatzor. In Chatzor there's a large Gera enclave, and he tells me that they just completely left Chatzor. Chatzor is deserted. Unfortunately, there are looters who are coming into all of these places in the north. People don't know whether all of their property is remaining intact or not. These places are desolate. People have just gone. They've moved. Now, where have they moved to? So the Gemara continues. If one could be reading a newspaper over here, instead of reading the Gemara from 1800 years ago or so, the Anshe HaGavul, and the people of the border, there are some of your folks who say the Anshe HaGalil, Yisayvavu Meir Le'ir, they'll be travelling around from city to city, Velo Yechenonu, and they won't find a place to rest. the people from the Galil, we've been told, Chazal are telling us, that they're going to be wandering around and they don't know where to stay. I saw a report, and last week it said there's a family with five children, and they've moved in to another family, to an uncle, and they have 12 children, and the quote said, "We are all going mad." And there was another quote which said, "If we would have wanted to live with our family, then we would have done." But people are travelling, they're spending a few weeks with some members of family, and then they just feel it's just very, very difficult for us to live out of our suitcases. And so they move on, and they move back. And no one knows exactly, it says that no one's sure exactly how many people are in Kiryat Shmona. Is it, which used to have 25,000 people, is it 8,000, is it 6,000, is it 3,000? Because people continually, they're trying to come back. They're trying to go and check on their belongings, they're trying to go home for a few days. They're and they're finding it very, very difficult just to find a place where they can stay. There are people that are living out of their cars, and we're not talking about luxury caravans, or camping automobiles. They're living out of, those of us have been to Eretz Yisrael, one sees the sort of jalopies that a lot of people are driving, and these are the sort of homes that they're having to live in with their families. Anshi Hagavul, Anshi Hagavul, Yisrael Lumi Iri Iri Vilei Hanonu. The Chachmai Seforim Tisrach, and the wisdom of the sages of the Talmidei Chachamim, Tisrach, it will be something which people say people aren't interested in. It's something which is abhorrent to people. No one's going to ask the Gedolim, "What do you say? How should we go in over here? What sort of amount of force should we use?" No one in this generation, people are making huge decisions, countries are making huge decisions, and they're not asking the Sotrim. They're not asking the people who are the Eimei Ha'edor, the people who are the eyes of the congregation, they're not asking the Tzadikim. The Yirei Chet Yimatu, and those who fear sin will be despised. The people who are the Frum people, the people who are those who are careful, not doing our days, they're despised. They're accused of being Neanderthals. They're accused of being not living in the same world that everybody else is. They're crazy. It's a double mot to the Yirei Chet. And truth will be ne'ederet, it will be lacking, it will be missing. Truth will be missing. So what does it mean that truth is missing over here? So of course, Poshut Pshat, it's very hard to find the emes, to find the derech ha'tov v'yoshov. But there's another explanation. What does it mean ne'ederet, it's missing? Ne'ederet is related to eder. Eder means the flock. Which means that as opposed to people recognizing an absolute truth, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Everybody agrees on it. Ha'emet ne'ederet will mean truth is in flock. Right? Each flock has its own truth. I have my truth, and you have your truth. And that's fine. A world where nothing is absolute. A world, a pluralistic world. I'm doing what I want, and you can do what you want. Live and let live. You have as much access to the truth as I have to the truth. That's ha'emet ne'ederet. Na'orim p'nei zekeinim yalbinu, the young will shame the faces of their elders. Zekeinim yalmoidu v'meitanim, and the elders will stand up in the face of the youngsters. So there will be no respect for the elder generation. People who use public transport can testify to how amazing it is. There will be elderly people sitting in a bus, standing in a bus or on a train, and there will be some youngster, and they, listening to some iPod. And they have, even if they have their eyes open, they'll look at the elder person, they won't even have a hava mina to get up to them. It won't even cross their mind that, "Why should I get up for them? I've had a hard day at work, so why should I bother getting up for them?" So the Zakanim, we know that the society, that there's a great deal of ageism in our society when it comes to employing people who are older than a certain age. It's very difficult to employ someone, even though they may have greater experience, they may have greater know-how in the particular field that they're trying to get the job in. Nevertheless, there are people who are, there are younger people that are finding it much easier to get jobs than the older people in the city. Very, very hard to find people over a certain age because everybody only wants the youngsters. Ben Manaveh asks, and a child will disgrace his father, the daughter will rise up against her mother. Kalabachamaisa, the daughter-in-law, will rise up against her mother-in-law. Now, there are other Gemaras that say that's not actually something which will happen specifically in the Ikvasa, the Mashiach. There are other sources that say that the relationship between the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law is something which, in many families, is a tense relationship, even if it's not Ikvasa, the Mashiach. But here we see there's a complete breakdown of the parent-child relationship, and not just of the parent-child relationship, but ish anshei beisoy, so oyvei ish anshei beisoy, the enemies of a man are the members of his house. And bias is always an expression for an ishah, for a person's wife. The enemies of a person are actually their beisoy, actually their wife. A time where there's a tremendous lack of shalom bias in the world, a time where there's an incredibly high divorce rate. I believe it's 50% divorce rate in America. I think that Baruch Hashem, the Jewish people are, unfortunately these things do happen. Obviously it's much less than that, but still higher divorce rate than we've ever seen before. So Ove Ish Anshei Beisoy. It's a tremendous breakdown of the family unit. The children's relationship with the parents has been shattered, relationships between husbands and wives are shattered. Pnei ha-doyer to pnei ha-keler, and the face of the leaders of the generation is like the face of a dog. So the Bali must say this means that if you see a dog walking in front of its owner, who is really leading whom? So it seems as though the dog is leading the owner. The dog is the one who is out there at the front. But if one notices the pnei ha-keler, the face of the dog is always looking behind it to see where does the owner really want it to go. So too, the leaders of the generation aren't really leaders who have vision and who have drive and who have goals that they really believe passionately are the MS. Instead, they're just looking at at the polls. What do the polls say? What will bring me more votes? They're always looking behind them and they're always seeing what will bring me the greatest popularity. Obviously, don't want to go into too many political issues here in the Shia, but one has to really see the Hashgacha Pratis, the fact that the Prime Minister of England, Tony Blair, is doing something which is so incredibly unpopular. He's really been holding out against the rest of the European Union and against the United Nations, who have always been trying to stop Israel from fighting against those who want to kill it, fighting against Hezbollah, fighting against Hamas. And it's a tremendous Hashgacha Pratis that he is there and he's been standing his ground. And he's been doing something that has actually been making him unpopular with huge sectors of the voters. Nevertheless, in general, we're told over here that Pnei Hador to Pnei HaKelet, the leaders are really just looking at what will bring them the most votes. Haben Eina Mitzbayish Me'ovit, a son won't have any shame anymore in front of his father. There'll be no concept of shame. What people used to do in private, now they'll do in public. They'll completely come out into the open in front of everybody, and they're very, very happy with their lifestyles, and there's no shame anymore. So the Mishnah, it's actually, this is all a Mishnah, this is the last Mishnah in Sefer, and the Mishnah concludes, for Amayishon Lihishoyen, upon what can we rely? Alavinu Shabashamayim, only on our Father who's in heaven. When it says for Amayishon Lihishoyen, upon whom can we rely, whom can we lean? What we're seeing over here is that there's such a breakdown of society that all of the normal world, the whole order of the world which we rely upon, and the structure of the world which we rely upon, all of these things are being completely broken down. We see Geffen Tachas Peri Ovayayim V'Yeka, there's a breakdown of the economy, there's a breakdown of leadership, there's a breakdown of Beis Vadia L'Zimur, the breakdown of morality in the world. Those who are at the border, those who are close to the other nations, they're just having to run and flee, and there's confusion, it's a world of confusion. People will hate the tzaddikim. Breakdown of the husband, of the family relationship, parents, children, wife, husband. All of the things that we normally would rely upon, all of these things are broken down. So this is what it will be like for Ikvasa the Mashiach. Now what is the point of the Chevel Moshiach? Why should it be that society should break down to this degree? The Rambam says in the Igeres Taimon that it is a test to refine the Jewish people. Over here we've seen there's a whole test of Emunah. Are we going to rely on Hashem, or are we not going to rely on Hashem? Are we going to lift up our hands in despair and say, this seems to be the end of the world as we know, we just can't continue? Or are we going to rely on Hashem? And this is going to separate, so to speak, the men from the boys. It's going to separate those who are going to be following Hashem from those who in fact aren't going to be able to make the final hurdle. The Maharal in Netzach Yisrael Perek Lamed Vav Lamed Tes gives a different explanation, and he says in the same way when one gives birth to a child, there's a whole new existence, and just before that new existence comes out into the world, there's a tremendous amount of pain, there's a tremendous amount of suffering, the real Chavli Leidot. It seems as though there's going to be a death over here. And then there has to be this sort of a breakdown of the natural world in order that the new labor, in order that the new blood, the new Uber, the new person can come out into the world. So too what we're seeing over here is that society is going to be broken down so that we will be able to get to this next stage, we'll be able to get to this next stage of this amazing world of Ruchnius, which will happen after the Chavli Moshiach. Because of course the Chavli Moshiach is supposed to lead us to Moshiach, and as the Rambam said in Hilchos Malachim, the reason that we're looking forward to Moshiach is because the whole world will realize that Klal Yisrael were right, and the Torah which Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael 3,318 years ago is the only Torah. There's no sequel to the Torah. There are no other prophets from the Ummah Sa'ilam that have come and they said we have the Torah. In actual fact, they'll realize that they're wrong, and only we have the Torah. Is that of course the Torah which is not just exclusively for us, but it's the Torah for the world, as opposed to the Christians who count from 2006. They count from the birth of their of the founder of their religion, because everything that happened beforehand is irrelevant. And the Yishma'elim, the Muslims, who also count from when Muhammad came on the scene, because everything from before that is irrelevant. We don't count from Har Sinai or from Moshe or from Avraham. We count from Adam Harishon, because we say that the whole world is important even before Klal Yisrael came on the scene. And the Chassidei Ummah Sa'olam Yishlem Chelek Leilum Avo, and a person who keeps the Sheva Mitzvot for Neinayach, they'll have a Chelek in Leilum Avo. They do, they want the Chassidei Ummah Sa'olam. So we say that there is purpose to every single person, every single person alive. But we're saying that the only Torah that was given is our Torah, and the whole world will come to realize that, and they'll all want for us to be engaged in Ruchnius the whole time, and so it's going to be a real spiritual world. So in order for us to make this transition between the physical world that we live in right now and the spiritual world that's going to take place, there has to be these Chavli Moshiach which shake us up and loosen our bonds with this physical world which we're in at the moment. And we see that the physical world which we're in, we just can't rely on this physical world, and we have to be noted towards Ruchnius if we want to survive. What can we do in order to save ourselves from the Chavli Moshiach? So the Chofetz Chaim was asked, he says, people come to me the whole time and they say they have such tzoros. What can I do in order to save me from these tzoros? So the Chofetz Chaim says, look, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Sadi Ches on the base, Shalom Talmidah, Shal Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Es Rabbon. The Talmidah Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol asked their master, Rabbi Eliezer, My after Odom Yenatra and Chavli Moshiach, what should we do in order to save from Chavli Moshiach? Onolem Yafik Bateir of the Gemilot Chatzodim. A person should be oisik in Torah. They should exert effort to learn Torah, to chazer Torah, to try and spend as much time as they can learning Torah, chaf an extra seder, to do chazorah for what they're doing. And also, to be oisik in gemilas chasodim. All of these things show that a person is not in the physical world here just like everybody else, looking after number one, only concerned about themselves. But rather, they themselves are breaking their bonds with the pure material world in which everyone else is living in. They're being oisik in Torah, and they're being mevatel their das to the das elyon, to the Rabbeinu Shleinon, and they're being oisik in gemilas chasodim, showing that they're not self-centered and that they're just caring about their own physicality, but they're also looking after everybody else. And the Chofetz Chaim said, who could possibly give us better eitzot than Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol? So when a person has tzoros, these are the things that they should be mechazek themselves in. We do find a number of other eitzot, how a person can save themselves from Chavli Moshiach, that are recorded in Chazal and in various Rishonim and Achronim. The Gemara says in Shabbos, that Kufi Yotchef from Adana, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Mishum Bar Paporo, Kol Makayim Sholosh Sudas B'Shabbos, everybody who is Makayim Sholosh Sudas B'Shabbos, it seems so easy. Sometimes Anoshim Tikonius, they make the second Sudas so great, it's a very big Nifoyim for a person to have Sholosh Sudas. But nevertheless, we're told that a person Makayim Sholosh Sudas, Nifl Mishumish Peronius, Mechevli Shom Mashiach, and we did a show to Yehinnam, and we Mochemeth Goizu Mogoy. They can be saved from all of these Peronius. Because by a person being Makayim Sholosh Sudas, they're already breaking their shackles of Olam Hazeh, being in the material world. And they're saying that this material world, and all this wonderful, delicious food, is all here in order for us to be Makayim HaMitzvah, in order for us to be Ma'anik the Shabbos, and give honor to the Shabbos. So therefore, this is something, if a person is Makayim Sholosh Sudas, they won't need the Chevrei Moshiach. Another segula which is brought is to say Perek Shiro. Perek Shiro has become very popular now, Baruch Hashem, and all of the different publishing companies have brought out this wonderful Perek Shiro pamphlets with wonderful explanations and beautiful pictures. The idea of Perek Shiro is to acknowledge how every single facet of the Bria, every single part of the physical world, is only here in order to give glory to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So by a person being misbehaving in Perek Shiro, they will also be able to be saved from the Chevrei Moshiach. 100 brachas a day is another segula which is brought. Another one is Meir Mikdash. In the Sefer Hasidus it says that the Tosfos Yom Tov made a Shailas Chaloim, and he said he wanted that from Shomayim it should be revealed to him why was there such a terrible gezeira as there was during his period. And the answer was, Biglat his nagus shall kalas roish beis hakneses b'tichas b'shas hatfilo, because of lightheadedness in shul and because of talking during davening. There was a rabbi who went to visit another shul, and he was the guest speaker there in a particular shul whose name I won't mention. And the rabbi, when he got out to give his drosha Shabbos this morning, he said, "They say that the art of conversation has died." He said, "But I say that it's alive and kicking in this community." just to conclude, it says in Tehillim, Kuf Kaf, an amazing thing. It says, Oyali Kigarti Meshach Shochantim Oli Kedor. David HaMelech is crying out, "Woe to me! Kigarti Meshach, I've lived with Meshach, Shochantim Oli Kedor. I've lived in Meshach and I've dwelt with the tent of Kedor." So, why is David HaMelech crying out over here? What's the problem, and who is this Kedor? So he says, "Ani Shalom v'chiyadaber himol melchomo. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." It says in Parashat Chayetzorah, Perek Chafhei, Pasuk Yud Gimel, "Ve'ena shmoyt b'nei Yishmael, b'shmoyt from the Soldotim, b'choy Yishmael mevoyef v'kedor." Kedor is one of the b'nei Yishmael. David HaMelech is prophesying there'll be a time when we live next to Kedor. He's saying here clearly, Shochantim Ole Kedor. So that's one, he'll be living next to Kedor. Who's Kedor? The B'nai Yishmael. What happens? Ani Shalom. V'chi Adaber, even if I speak about Shalom, even if we try and make all of these agreements, they're not worth the paper that they're written on. Because V'chi Adaber, when I try, nevertheless, him will Melchomo. And as Pure Page Rabbi Yishmael says, and with this I'll absolutely conclude, Lo monikar shmo Yishmael, she'osin HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishmoya b'koyo na'at ha'om, mima she'asidim le Yishmael ha'asayis, ba'oret, ba'achris ha'yomim. Lefichot nikar shmo Yishmael, says that even though Hoba called him Yishmael, he shomakeo, he could have been called shomakeo. Why is it Yishmael? Because at the end of time, ba'achris ha'yomim, just before the Geulah comes, they will make us cry out. Yishmokeo v'yanein. Hashem will listen, but He will listen to our cries. The whole reason that they're there is only to make us cry out. And we hope that Be'ezra Hashem, all of these simonim we have done have already been niskayim, and we should be zeicha to see the Geulah Shleimah in Mashiach Yikeinu v'mehir Yameinu.